give Pastor Judith a big round of applause, shall we?
Thank you. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful time in God's presence. I have a word that is connected to the visual above your heads, and it's about stars, interestingly enough. And, you know, that's when I was praying, the Lord just said to tell you, you are to shine like a star, to shine like a star. And of course, it's a very Christmassy theme, but it's, I love the way that this is kind of above our heads, and we can look at the visual as well as look at the Word of God together. So let's start in Philippians chapter 2, probably come up on the screen, and we'll just read a few verses of the Word of God together, and then just unpack what the Lord's saying about shining brightly like stars. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, I love the way Paul writes. You know, he's in prison and he actually is thinking about the church. And we know that we are God's beloved, but he calls the church my beloved. Isn't that interesting? He's speaking to the, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights or as stars in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or have labored in vain. The word actually is translated two ways here, shine as stars, and to hold fast the word of life. We know how important it is that we, as followers of Jesus, we are completely holding fast to the scripture. But it also means to hold out the word of life to those who are perishing, to those who don't have Jesus in their lives. When Jesus came, and it's something that is very much on our minds as Christians as we approach the Christmas season, the festive season, we know that he came, the Lord of glory, the one who created even the stars in the heavens, the one who made all things, humbled himself and became a child, and he was born. We know that he said, he made this claim, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Jesus said, without me, everyone's in darkness. But I am the only light that the world has. And while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then Jesus, once he'd collected followers, his disciples, he told them, those who believed in him and followed him, he told them, he said, not only am I the light, but now you are the light of the world. So he says the light that he is, suddenly it's all change because we collectively as believers are the light of Taunton, of the whole world. The church is the only light in the world. Amen. Believers, those who've received, we're not the source of light. Jesus is the source. And when we believe in Jesus, he comes to live in us. And because he lives in us, we become the light bearers. Light meaning those who reveal Jesus, those who know. Light also means knowledge, who have the knowledge of the way to God. The only way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus made these claims, and he makes this claim about the church, us. Now, I find that quite a responsibility to think that I am personally light in the world, and that we are, as a church, Kingdom Faith Church, Southwest, you are the light of the world. That's the truth. And this scripture says that we are to shine like stars in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, to actually show what's straight, what's true, and what's right, to be an example of Jesus, to reveal Jesus to the world. The Christmas story, you know it so well, with the wise men, how they followed a star that led them to the birthplace of Jesus. And they saw the star. The star actually located them where they were living and moved them. The star moved them to Bethlehem. And so this is the divine sign in the heavens that actually took three wise men and moved them to an encounter with the living God through Jesus Christ. The star led them all the way to Jesus. And I believe that's the core of the message that God has for us. You're the star that's going to locate people and lead them all the way to Jesus. That is why he says you're the light of the world, not only to shine bright, but to lead people all the way to find the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And we're to shine like lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. We do that by what Paul's just said to us, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Working out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, all other religions, every last one of them, is about working to please their God. Working for approval. Working for a place. Jesus says, don't work for salvation. I did the work, but work out what you have received. It's a completely different thing. Salvation is a gift. We heard this morning, saved by grace through faith. But we are all to work out the gift of salvation that we have received. So in other words, you're not just to have a deposit of eternal life on the inside of you. You're to see that life worked out. I don't know if you probably do remember 2010, I think it was, there were 33 Chilean miners that got stuck down a mine. No way out. And these miners were trapped for a long time. I think it was something like 69 days or something. It was a long time. I wouldn't like an hour. I just think of 60, you know, a long time they were down there. And they couldn't save themselves. They could not get themselves out of that mine. And they had to drill down almost a kilometer through the earth. It was incredible how the world almost came together to rescue these Chilean miners. And I think some of them were Christians and they were praying down there. And you know, one of the drills they sent down, a piece of paper came back up. They attached a piece of paper, a note saying there are 33 of us down here. Do you not think that's amazing? That cry from the depths was, we're here, could you bring us out? And I think that's the cry of the lost. We're here, can you bring us out? We're in darkness, can you bring us into the light? And so these guys worked tirelessly to rescue them, and they drilled a kilometer down. And after finding the only way they could think of, they made a capsule where individual miners would be able to get in, because it was a small space. And then they would bring, one by one, they came out of the darkness and into the light. And we are to work tirelessly, like those at the top who can see, those who have the knowledge of Jesus. We're to work tirelessly to send down the message that Jesus is the way. The only way out was the capsule. But you can't save yourself. It's only Jesus that can bring you out of darkness and into light, out of the stain of sin and being out of relationship with God through sin, but into reconciliation and forgiveness of sins and into the light. One of the truths is those who've received Jesus have already been taken out of darkness. Think of it. We spent a long time in there, guys. Some of us spent longer than others. But the moment we believed in Jesus, it was like the capsule. Jesus immediately took us out of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. Mankind is a lost cause without a savior. Is facing certain death and hell. Certain death and hell. Eternal separation. And I really have been meditating on the one word that Jesus used to describe hell. And that is torment. Now, I've known some people being tormented for a short while on earth by either demonic negative spirits or by actually individuals who inflict pain and torment on them. We've all read about stories that reflect torment. You might know a little bit of something of that in your own life. But I can't think of anything worse than being in a dark place where demons are tormenting you day and night forever. Eternal death. Eternal torment. It never stops, guys. The demons never stop tormenting in hell, which is why we've got to get the message of Jesus to those who are in the darkness and shine like stars to bring them out. The good news is we don't work for acceptance with God. Because of Jesus, if we receive him, we are accepted. We don't work for approval before God, which religions and some even Christian, they call it faith teaching, is that you've got to work for your salvation, earn your way to God. We can't. It's a total gift by grace through faith. We're not trying to be righteous people. We are made righteous through faith. Made righteous through faith. You're not trying to do or be a nice person. God has made you righteous in Christ Jesus. Now we work it out and live a righteous life. And I would always question if no one is showing signs of righteousness, I question if they're saved. Because there is always fruits of who you are. And if you receive Jesus, there will always be fruit of a changed life. We do not work to receive the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He comes when we ask and we believe that we receive him. But we work out our salvation by doing what Peter and John did. What I have, I give in the name of Jesus, walk. So we're working out the powerful life of the one who lives on the inside of us. So we are to work out what we've already got in Jesus, the fullness of life. This word work out is a mining term. And it means dig and get hold of the treasure that's on the inside of you. Dig for it. Search it out, the riches that you have in Christ, your rich inheritance that you already have. Dig for it and then live it out. Live in that inheritance. It's also a farming term, to work the land, to actually take the promises of God and see a harvest of all the promises that are already yours in Christ. But you need to work the land. You need to dig. God won't do the digging or the working. That's the working out. Putting effort into your salvation, you could say, because it's not just going to fall on you. Okay, so we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, aware that we stand before God and one day will give an account for the way we have lived our lives. Not one of us is unaccountable. I am not unaccountable. I will give an account for what I have done with what God has given me. And so, my friend, or I could say my beloved, will you. And that day, we need to live in awe of that day and live adjusted to that vision, not all the stuff we get involved in everyday life. Work out your salvation. Ephesians 2:8 speaks, we read it earlier, saved by grace through faith, which is a gift of God, not of yourselves. And then it goes on to say, not of works. We're not saved by works, lest any should boast, because the work that we boast about is the work of the cross and the resurrection. We shouldn't boast about it. We should boast about Jesus, not what we do. But then it says, but we are his workmanship. Another translation of that is, you're his work of art in Christ Jesus. You're God's work of art. The new creation is a work, a masterpiece. When you receive Jesus, you're a new person. You're a masterpiece. The old is not a masterpiece. It had to die on the cross with Jesus and be raised to a new life. But you're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. Not just to say, I'm going to heaven, thank God, although you can do that. That's all part of it. But I'm going to heaven, but I've got work to do now. And he has prepared beforehand good works for us to walk in. So that's a working out of the masterpiece that you are in Christ Jesus. Imagine how strategic and how much planning it would take to work out all the works of somebody's life beforehand. Right? This. I want you to meet that person. I want you to do this. I want you to serve that in the local church. I've got this for you and your family. I want you to do this in your community. Just think of all those good works. Only God can actually plan all of it. Because if I think of one of us, I'd be like, I can't. I'll get to the end of my planning. God's a planner. And he has planned good works for you from this day on. And we're just into the discovering of all those things he has. God has set up good works for you. Things for you to do, because we're called into purpose, not just to be saved, but to saved for good works. Tell somebody next to you, you're saved for a good work that God's planned. Saved for good works. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he had this revelation that the Lord was Jesus, not just the Jewish God, but the Son of God, who is now Lord of Lords. And when he met, when God met Saul, who became Paul on that road, God said something really interesting. Stand up. I think those words are very interesting. Get on your feet. Because I've appeared to you for a purpose. So it's not just about you, Paul. You can't just float your way to heaven saying, I'm having a great time in worship currently and I'm just going to stay here. Thank you, Jesus, very much. I may as well start a monastery. I may as well just be me and God. He said, no, I've saved you for a purpose. That you will be a witness and a servant of the things that I've told you and shown you now, and I'm going to show you. So in other words, Paul, it's not just about you. Yes, I love you so much, I died for you. It is about you. But it involves a whole lot more people that you don't yet know. It's not just about you. It's about the millions, actually, that Paul ended up influencing, of which I am one. And so are you. His life of being a witness and a servant meant that I am saved today. That the church is the church of Jesus Christ today. And you have to think significance when you think of your life. If God's planned good works for me, then it makes me significant on earth. I've got a significant purpose on this earth that I need to find out what it is and fulfill it. To shine in the midst of this generation. As I was preparing, I happened upon this scripture in Daniel. Honestly, it sums up what it means to shine like stars and to have the purpose of God as central in your life. Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise, let's pray that that's you and I. I don't want to be called foolish because they're really negative in scripture. It's a negativity thing, foolish. It's not just about not having any sense. It actually means the foolish man, his life was destroyed. He's not saved. The wise men live according to the truth, the way of God. And here, this is amazing. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You're a star. You're a star forever and ever. Hollywood has its stars. Hollywood has the Walk of Fame. And on the cement pavement, they have these stars with the names of famous entertainers and people who this culture or previous cultures have considered to be great. They have their 30 years in the limelight. But we will have eternity in the limelight. Because if we live adjusted to the purpose of God for his church, which means for me personally, and lead, another translation that says turn, but another translation says lead many to righteousness, which means to Jesus, because Jesus is God's righteousness. You can't be right without receiving Jesus. You will never go to heaven without receiving Jesus. End of. And so Jesus is God's righteousness revealed. But we are the wise ones who shine like stars in this generation to lead many to Jesus. Say many. Think of many. It's a lot of people, many. Not one or two. God's purpose is that we, and let's take it personally, me, I will lead many. You will lead many to Jesus. Tell somebody, God's plan for your life is to lead many to Jesus. Now tell them you're a divine sign. A divine sign. A masterpiece. As you work out your salvation, more and more of Jesus is being revealed. We're influencing people, but we also have a goal. The Church of Jesus Christ has a goal or an aim. And that is to see people led to Christ. Therefore, the goal of your life, part of it, part of God's plan. But it is the superior plan. Can I tell you, you can be a doctor, you can be a business person, you can be a mum, you can be a pastor, you can be a musician, you can be a singer, you work in an office. It doesn't matter what you do, but there is a superior goal. And that is to lead people to Jesus. That is the tops. That's the goal, the aim. Paul said, stand on your feet, Paul. I've appeared to you because you're going to be a witness. This is what I've got. I saved you for a purpose. I haven't just saved you to have a fine time with abundant life. I want you to enjoy your life on earth. I want you to live in the fullness, because the more fullness you live in, the more people will see the shining. They'll see you shine. But it's not just about your abundance. It's about leading many to Jesus Christ. I sometimes think we just need to be reminded of the goal. And that's what God is saying this morning. Shine like stars. Be a powerful influence through your character, through being blameless and without fault. People can't criticize your Christianity because you're like Jesus. But it's not just about influence. I don't think many of us really think of ourselves as a leader of the lost. I don't know if you think of yourself as a leader in the world. But you're a leader to Christ. They cannot find Jesus without you leading them. That's what God's saying. Unless, you know, they're in the darkness, you're in the light, and you can bring light to people that you are with. At the Christmas party, you can lead someone to Jesus. In the office, you can lead someone to Jesus. You can say we're having a movie. You can lead them to a place where they may see something of Jesus. You can lead them to a carol service. You can lead them to a connect group. You can lead them by telling them that Jesus changes lives and he's changed mine. But you know, someone who just suggests isn't a leader. It means you've got to say, actually, I want you to move. A leader says, the goal is that you become a Christian and don't live down that pit for eternity with a tormentor. That's the goal. I've got a goal. Because if God so loved the world, he gave his son. Because of love. Love compels us. I'm not embarrassed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God to save those who believe. And so if we're ashamed, we won't say there is a goal in our conversation. We'll just say we're just having a nice chat. You know, we're not to blend in, we're to shine. They're in the dark, we're in the light. We're to bring them into the light, to bring them to Jesus. And our conversations, you know, scripture says it like this, need to be seasoned with salt. It's not to put them off, but it's to waken them up. And you say things like, well, I found Christmas, for me, is about celebrating the arrival of the most important person in my life. That's not a bad thing to say, is it? And his name's Jesus. They might look at you like you're crazy, but you're leading them. It's a leading statement. Yeah. You're saying something that is actually awakening them rather than putting them to sleep again. Just lie down in the dark, stay in the dark until you die, and then that's it. It's over. You're saying, I'm gonna shine right now. I'm gonna say something right now. I'm gonna not be embarrassed or put off if you say it's not politically correct. Because I want, through the love of God, to compel you to be reconciled with God before you leave this earthly tent. And unless you do, it's not going to be good. And I know that. I don't go around telling everybody you're going to hell. That's not the way that I minister. That's not what I'm saying. I have said that to one person, seriously, one night, late night, talking about Jesus. Many years ago, I remember saying to her, she refused to accept Jesus. I felt on my heart, it was so serious that this girl wouldn't receive Jesus. And I loved her. She was a friend of mine. And I pleaded with her. I did what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. I pleaded with her to be reconciled to God, to give her life to Jesus and believe in him. And I'm saying, actually, I had a coal fire, so it was really atmospheric, and we were sitting around chatting, and late at night, 3 in the morning, I think it was. So we're having a chat, and I just said, my last attempt is this. I've said everything. One day, you will find out that there is a destination for you. You're not going to go into disappearing act forever. Your spirit will live forever. That part of you that is made eternal will last forever. And I need to tell you, to avoid hell, receive Jesus. And there are so many scriptures in the teaching of Jesus about hell. And there is a time to talk like that. But a lot of the time we go around doing good, shining, saying Jesus is the way to the Father, be reconciled to God. Jesus has done it all so that we can be saved by grace through faith. Daniel says those who are wise lead many to Jesus Christ. Let's look at John chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. I'm the only one who's thanking you right now, but that's okay. I'm thankful because this is the message that we all need reminding of. To shine and to lead people to Jesus. To take it on board personally. Not say it's the job of the church and then we disappear into inactivity. It's the pastor's job. It's everybody else's job but mine. And Jesus says, actually, it's you. You're my follower. Now go and make other followers. Bring them, lead them to me. And one of the most simple stories in the New Testament, very short, in John chapter 1 verse 43, is the story of Jesus finding Philip, calling him to follow, and then Philip going to find a friend. And here we are. Let's just read verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Powerful, life-changing, change of life words. Not stay where you are and believe, follow. Don't keep living the life you're living, move. Suggesting a complete change. To be a follower of Jesus means it's a radical decision. So you do need to count the cost because it's going to take your life. Can't stay where you are, you've got to move with God. And that's how it always is. And then Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and he said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit. Not you dirty, rotten sinner. Jesus actually spoke because he knows everything about everyone. And he knows you better than anyone else knows you. And this is almost a compliment Jesus is giving. He's complimenting Nathanael. Why? Because he loves him. That he was going to die for him. So much that he died for him. And he was appealing to this, I'm God and I know everything. Come and follow. But the story is really this morning about Philip shining like a star, leading someone to righteousness. This is the story really this morning that Jesus wants us to home in on. What did Philip do? He went looking for Nathanael. It doesn't mean found, he just suddenly found him. The scripture actually means he went on a hunt. You know when it says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, he came hunting. In the most positive way. Not to kill you, to save you. But he came hunting you. He came pursuing you. Jesus wanted you. And so Philip is now carrying the light, the revelation of Jesus in his life. And so he went on the hunt. He went looking for his friend. Now, do you know most people come to Jesus through their friend, through someone they know? A friend. And he went to find him. He left, you know, because, I mean, it must have been such a wonderful day the day before when Philip met Jesus and discovered this is the Messiah. He had a revelation. He was a believer. But he didn't stay there. He went to find someone. And we are called to shine where it's dark. It's great getting together where all the lights come together. You're all shining stars. Look, we're in a room of stars. We're the all-stars. But we got to go out to find those in the dark, because that's where the light is needed, in the dark. So Philip, he went looking for. When was the last time you went looking for someone to lead them to Christ? Just a question. When did you last look for someone? Not just have a happening, but actually go seeking. That's a different thing, isn't it, than just, well, I'm waiting for God to send someone. Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. In other words, I'm walking along by the Sea of Galilee, not because I like the Sea of Galilee and I like being by the beach. He went to find someone. He intended, you see, this is an intentional leading someone to Christ. If we're not intentional, it's not just going to happen. Right, you get it. We have to be intentional. God actually says, you're the light. You go be the light and lead them to the light. So Philip was doing the work that we're called to do. And the simplicity of it, for me, sets me free from all the complicated 5-point things on evangelism. I get so confused, don't you? About how difficult it seems to be to lead someone to Christ. It gets so complicated. We end up being so bamboozled that we don't know what to do anymore. And Philip makes it so easy. He goes, finds Nathanael, and he says, actually, we found the one. Now, it translates differently in your life. In what way have you found the one? What does he mean to you? I found him. He found me. What kind of difference does that make to you? That you can go into somebody's life. I found the one who sets free. I found the one who makes me patient and kind when I used to be angry and impatient. I found the one who heals. I found the one who answers prayer. I found the one who has blessed my life with his presence, who forgives my sins, who doesn't treat me as I deserve. I found the one who is love. That's the communication. And Nathanael throws back a question that's actually, if you're not careful, you'll be put off. Right there, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Christianity? No, Nazareth, let's say. But, you know, you're joking. That's what you'll get. You'll get, can anything good come from a life of faith in Jesus? And he's in the dark, so he doesn't know nothing good comes. It's how he thinks nothing good comes out of this. Because he's in the dark, so he needs you to keep talking. But Philip doesn't enter into the science of dinosaurs. Can't you get trapped in dinosaurs? Or in evolution? I got so set free that when I became a believer, I just said, well, Lord, I either believe the lot or I don't believe any of it. I'm a believer in the Word of God. And he said he made everything that'll do for me. Made man in his image. I'm not a monkey. Praise the Lord. I'm made in the image of God. That's a fantastic, it's far superior than a monkey. I didn't involve. I'm created. But I don't get involved with all of that stuff because arguments take people into the mind. Okay, so if you start to argue with him, you're already lost because you are fighting with human reasoning. And human reasoning actually doesn't save anyone. I don't mean don't investigate. I don't mean don't come and find out, because Philip did what was actually the standard for leading people to Christ. He was like, well, let's not bother about where he came from, and let's not bother about dinosaurs and evolution right now. Basically, you're going to hell. God wants to save you, and he loves you, and he died for you. Let's just get the basics in. But I can't convince you. So he just uses this simple phrase, come and see. Say, come and see. Is that complicated? Do you know, come and have a meal and see more about Jesus in my home. Come to my Connect group. We're going to do a Bible study. Come to church and see. Come, to a meeting where we're going to be praying for a miracle. Come and see. It's ever so easy. That's leading someone, not suggesting that they go off on their own and discover. It's saying, stand up, my lovely. There you are, Nathaniel. Okay? Nathaniel-y. Okay. So, Philip comes, and Nathaniel tries to put her off. And he says, Homer, come and see. Come. Now, can you imagine this? Come and see. You know, I'm just fulfilling my duty right now. I should be sharing the good news. So here we are. Jesus died for your sins and rose again. There we are. I've done it, Pastor. I've shone brightly. That's not shining. That is actually putting somebody off. And I found the one who's changed my life forever. Come and see. Come. Now, this is what Paul calls persuading people, which is also another term for leading. Not forcing. There is a huge difference to force. Nathaniel, if he'd have said, nah, nothing else Philip could have done. But you know, when you've had the taste of something really delicious at a restaurant, and you're trying to describe how fantastic that taste is, don't you at the end of all your descriptions say, you're just going to have to try it yourself. You're just going to have to try it yourself. Come along. Come to the restaurant. You're just going to have to try. Don't you? I know I'm acting out today. But you need it, because religion can come in and say, I've heard this message before. It's another motivational message to win the lost. But God is speaking to his church here at Kingdom Faith Southwest. And he's saying, make it simple, but lead people to me. And Philip said, come on, let's go, come on. And Nathaniel said, I'll come. He probably came like this. A load of rubbish. But that's okay. He came. And he came. You know, God takes the smallest step of a seeker, of someone who's starting to come. And he impacts them with himself. The first words of Jesus, Nathaniel was like, you're the Messiah. The first step, he knows me more than my wife knows me. He knows me more than my friend, my best friend. He gets me. You know, Jesus gets you. He understands it. Even before a thought was on your tongue, he says he knows you. He knows you from afar. He knows every person you work with. He knows every person you live next door to. And he's able in one sentence to show himself to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In one moment. Now, Philip didn't do that bit. It's not your job to save them. It's your job to say, come and see, and be a bright, shining light. Someone who's saying, this is so good. Philip would have said, this is it, guys. This is what we're living for. Are we not all saying that, church? This is it. We have found Jesus. Are we not saying it, church? If you're not, you need a revival, personally. If you're not saying Jesus is enough, and this is it, I'm saved. Oh, something needs to be awakened on the inside of you so that you become enthusiastic about Jesus again. Oh, happy day. He washed my sins away. I think we ought to finish with that one. Oh, happy day. Happy, 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 happy day. See, if we are churchified, we kind of just, well, I suppose I should say something. And we come up with all these long words, righteousness and just judgment. And they're like, I don't know what you're on, mate, but I'm not flying at your level. But come and see, they get. The world understand, come and see. You know, come and watch a footy match. Do they not get that? Come, we're having an office party. We're having a celebration at my home. Come and see. See for yourself. Not, I'm going to make you become a Christian. Come and find out. Investigate. Come with us. And you know, discovery of Jesus and a walk with Jesus is always in a crowd. It's never on your own. Which is why, remember the wise men, the star, found them where they were and led them to Jesus. Now Philip, this shining star, found Nathanael, led him to Jesus, and then they all walked together with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Be the star. Be the leader to Christ. And you know, when I was preparing, sometimes I have messages that I'm like, I don't think they'll like this one very much. And you know, I have to be faithful to do what God asks me. We all do. It's not my church, it's His. He can say what He likes to us, can't He? But you know, sometimes I think I like it when you look really happy and excited about healing or power or that. You know, and I'm like, Lord, it's a bit like Theresa May must feel like trying to get the Brexit thing through. How many have, do we have a vote? Do we have a vote? Let me see if I can persuade you that we need to be bright, shining stars in the midst of this generation, leading people to Christ. How exciting that is. And as the Lord said to me, don't force them. Don't try motivating them. Let the word motivate. Let my spirit work in them as they're listening. But also, now wait for it, he said, tell them, as if it's Jesus speaking to you, will you do it for me? That's the sum of it. Not because you should, but Jesus is standing in his church today saying, will you do it for me? Will you be a Philip and lead somebody? Doesn't that make all the difference? That when you love someone, you kind of don't mind doing the things that you don't really find easy. Because you love them, you're like, I'll do it for you. I'll go, Lord, here I am, send me. I'll do it for you, Lord. I won't do it because Pastor Judith brought a message, but because you're saying it. Because it's the word of God that works effectively in those who believe. And I'll say, Jesus, yes, here I am. Send me. I want to do it for him, do you? Yes. We have this month. Let's home in on. We're to do this all our lives. But let's home in on the days up to Christmas. You know, people have their little windows with their advent calendar and get the chocolate out. But you know, I wonder if every day we should open that calendar and say, I'll do it for you, Lord. This day is a new opportunity. to talk to somebody and say, come and see. And we've got stuff you can invite them to. Isn't that brilliant? We've got a movie night. We want you there, and we would love you to say to someone, come and see. We're not going to preach at them that night. The movie's going to do something. The movie will speak. So don't be afraid. We're not going to have another hour's preaching after the movie. We're just going to stand up, say, you're welcome. Fire doors, toilets, popcorn. Let's enjoy. But you bring them. Don't come on your own. And if they don't want to come, come on your own. There's freedom. Be part of this movie night. Make it your movie night. Don't just come because you don't think you'll like the movie. Be intentional. The carol service, be intentional. Go looking for. And Jesus says, do it for me. Shall we stand? Hallelujah.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.